Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Well, here we are, another week. Pastor Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well, a little warm.
Yes. It's, oh, man, this heat wave is something
else. I know. It's supposed to go to 41 today, which is just shocking.
Northern Alberta.
I'm an Alberta boy. Never heard of that.
Wow.
Ever.
You know, I sent a snapshot of the forecast to my parents in Texas, and I said, y'all can take your summer back. And then immediately my thought was, well, they got a week of our winter, so it's only fair that we get a week of their summer.
It's a flip-flop. It's a good deal.
Right.
Yeah. No.
You know, people were making fun of them for not handling the winter well, but then now here we are.
Yeah.
Stores are sold out of fans and window AC units. And we're dying from heat.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man.
Very true. Yeah. And the, in my feed, because I have some New Zealand feeds, it snowed there in the Queenstown, which is kind of like Banff in that South Island. And nice, beautiful snow falling on the ground. I think I feel the coolness off the page.
I know. We might end up, you know, we've got snowbirds. We might have some, what would you call them? Like
sunbirds?
I don't know. Sunbirds, sunfish or something like that.
Jumping fish.
People go into the southern hemisphere during winter, or sorry, during summer to get some cool weather.
Yep. The snowbirds are going. Now the sunbirds are flying down too.
Right.
To get cool.
Yeah.
Going to Mexico to cool down.
Wow,
that's a weird thought.
Yeah.
go to Houston to cool off.
Right. Yeah. No, you get the humidity. That was my dad's response. It was, well, what's the humidity? And I look and it's 18%.
Yeah.
And there it's like 99%.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes you bake. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Well, we had a wonderful experience on Sunday.
Yes, we did.
And I guess in some ways you think, you know what, this is one thing that has happened that maybe has been a good thing from COVID is these online advantage of having streaming.
Oh, phenomenal.
And to bring our president right into our church building via live stream. And, you know, he's looking at us
right,
you know, right there.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down and talking. It was very good. I really enjoyed his message.
That was my first time hearing him preach. And I've heard before that he is a very dynamic speaker and passionate.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people even will say, oh, you got the Hearn High when you talk about excitement within the alliance.
Yes, there's definitely such a thing.
Yeah, and I caught that on Sunday. Just his exuberance and his passion was contagious.
Yeah, yeah. Bouncing up and down on his stool. There's got to be shocks in that stool.
Oh, I know, yeah. Or
maybe that's stool number 20.
Right, yeah.
He just goes through them because he's bouncing around so much. Yeah, it was just very entertaining. And yet all we could really just see was just basically from his shoulders up.
Right.
And yet his expressions, and it was just refreshing. He's such a good communicator. And I felt very blessed after and encouraged. And what a topic, you know, to bring to the close of our series on the fourfold gospel, which is Simpson's, you know, it's not the only part of the gospel, but it's a summary of the gospel.
Right.
And, you know, Christ, our Savior, Christ, our Sanctifier, Christ, our Healer, and his role was to bring Christ, our coming King.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't talk about the end.
No.
I mean, he maybe mentioned
it
a couple times.
It's interesting because he preached from Revelation, which is...
Yeah.
Revelation of the end.
Exactly.
Yet, I loved the way he did it.
Yep.
I love the way he communicated this idea of Christ our coming King.
Mm. While I was listening, I had this thought go through my mind. I want to explore the book of Revelation under the idea that Jesus is being revealed now.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to go through and read Revelation with the knowledge of chapter one, as in not future talk, but as he is revealing himself now, present talk.
Mm-hmm.
How would I read that differently? So I'm going to do that while I'm away. I'm going to go through the book of Revelation and think of it as, okay, if this is happening behind the scenes right now, what does it mean right now?
Right.
So
it's almost taking a page from, you know, our, you know, maybe post-millennial brothers and sisters who see it, you know, I grew up premillennial.
Yeah.
Things are going to get progressively worse. And then Jesus is going to come back as millennial reign. Whereas post-millennial is things are going to progress. There's going to be revival. Things are going to progressively move towards a physical establishment of Christ's kingdom as things progressively get better. So it's almost a little bit of that mentality as you read. And that might be good for us because I think the way that Dave approached it on Sunday was Jesus is here now. Jesus is in our midst now. And
do you see him?
Do you see him?
Yeah.
As opposed to just, well, he's coming one day.
Yeah.
Which he is. True. He's coming back one day.
No doubt.
But you also, he's here in our midst today, right now at work.
Yeah.
And yeah, do we miss that?
Yep.
No. And yeah, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts come the end of your study as you look at that from that perspective.
I was so blessed again to read a passage of scripture from the book of Revelation that wasn't wild-eyed or connected to some
cultural. The end is near.
Repair, you know, die or fry, or cry or fry, or whatever.
No, turn to burn.
Yeah, he was definitely fresh.
Yeah,
as if you felt as if you were seeing Jesus in the midst of the churches right now. You could see him.
Right.
What was he doing?
Yeah,
and what kind of direction is he giving? And what kind of hope is he providing? And you know, you had mentioned earlier and we were chatting about, you know, this whole idea of being open again. The church is opening up.
Right.
And coming back to what we'd say is normal with a Sunday morning service. And the question is, what if it gets taken away again? Like that was a good sort of thought exercise.
Yeah.
What happens if opens up and then we get some kind of wild variant that the vaccines don't work on or whatever? And then what happens? They close us down again.
September, October, November comes and...
Yeah. So now what?
Yeah.
Right? Is our hope in opening up?
Right.
Or is our hope in seeing Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to disqualify the importance of being together. Because that's
absolutely. Right. Yeah. I am so looking forward to Sunday when... There's no limit. I know the chairs are starting to get moved around in the sanctuary, and I have yet to see the sanctuary full of chairs.
Oh, yeah,
because when we moved here, it was beginning of COVID. Things
were right.
I'm excited to see it on Sunday.
Yes, yeah,
and hopefully see a packed house.
That's weird to think about.
Yeah, I know. I've been here a year and have yet to see the sanctuary full.
Wow, that's weird. Thanks for sharing that, though.
Yeah.
Because, it brings a whole new freshness to the idea that these chairs are being put out and put back into rows. And you think, all right, these are going to be full of people.
Right.
And, I'm very much anticipating. But having said that, is that what it's about? Is having a full house what, you know, is that what's going to make it a great Sunday?
Right.
Or is Jesus' presence going to make it a great Sunday?
Yeah.
And the bonus is all the extra people.
That's right.
You know, so again, he started in Revelation chapter 1.
Yeah.
And his take was to see Jesus among the lampstands. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his hand on me and he said, and I love the way Dave did this, do not be afraid.
Yeah.
And he just stopped right there.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess it even applies to your thought question, your sort of practice, what happens. The idea that this could be taken away again could bring a measure of fear, like, you know, or anger or whatever.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid.
That's right.
I'm in the midst of all of this. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I've had the sense, even while we've been fasting these 40 days, I didn't share this on Sunday because I don't know that it's something that I want to share too publicly, but here I am talking to you now and this is going out of the internet.
and who knows who will hear it.
The idea is that, you know, during this time of difficulty, pruning has been happening.
Absolutely.
Now, I think I might've mentioned that on Sunday night at our little gathering.
Yeah.
But I really do believe that the faith of people in our churches, and in our church included, has been put through the tester. And what is coming out?
Yeah.
Is it defiance? Is it rebellion? Is it anger? Is it kind of rolling your eyes and thinking, you know, everybody's wild-eyed scientists that don't know what they're talking about?
Yeah.
Is it a measure of pride? What is actually coming out? Or is it the fragrance of Jesus? Yeah, back to that.
That's right.
Is the pruning or is the pressure tester, the cooker of that, you know, those pressure cooker things?
Right.
Where it's emulsifying the meat. You put it in the cooker and it just kind of, there's so much pressure on it. It just turns it into this soft, you know, tissue. Or is it just turning into a lump of stone?
Right.
Right. Am I angry? Am I, am I disconnected?
Right. Exactly.
Do I not care about my brothers and sisters? And, you know, does it take a full building before I feel that way again? Right. Or is it actually so important? And I think in some ways we've seen our church deepen its roots because people are meeting together.
Right.
They're following Jesus in the midst of all of this. And our support groups, I think, have taken a turn up, right? The calibration's gone up. It's gotten more centered around the importance of being together for the purpose of encouraging, supporting, discipling, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Baptizing.
Right.
Right. I think it's been wonderful. People baptizing others in their backyards.
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, so is he in the midst of us? Yes.
Absolutely.
Do we need to be afraid?
No.
Not at all.
No.
No. Do not be afraid. I just thought it kind of went right through me when he said that.
Right.
Do not be afraid. I don't have to fear any of this. No. So what if they take us away again?
Right.
I don't have to be afraid.
So what?
He's in the midst. I got to just be more creative. Mm-hmm. It's been exhausting. Not going to lie to you. It's been tiring because the stress, the pressure, you know, hoping that people are doing okay. You know, that pastory kind of gift that is always trying to make sure that God's sheep are looked after. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's a measure in which the sheep have to make their own choices before the Lord and to pursue him even in the midst of this or to be afraid of this virus or whatever.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And really, I think that's what it comes down to is this fear going to reign. Because if you look at it from either perspective, either you fear the virus or you fear the lockdown and restrictions. And that can be shown in anger or anxiety. Yeah. But I think the root of it is that fear of what could be thrown at us next.
Yep.
But do we see Jesus? Mm-hmm. And that's what Dave kept repeating.
Yep.
What do you see? What do you see?
What do you see, Hinton?
Like, that's right.
I like that too. Like,
yes.
Okay, what do you see?
Yeah.
Hinton Alliance. That's a good question. I hope people really took it to heart and started thinking, what do I see? And I know I certainly did. And I started thinking, well, what do I want to see? But this fast has been so good because it just keeps throwing Jesus in the front of your face.
Yes.
You know,
you know, I felt yesterday, and maybe it was because, you know, Sunday night we had the kind of ending prayer time together, which was a huge blessing for me, huge encouragement for me.
Yeah, it was
me.
Great.
But the last couple of days have been really hard for me to stick with the fast.
Yeah.
Yesterday, especially. So part of what I gave up was sweets, which that has been my entire life, has been my stumbling block.
Right.
Like, I love sugar.
Yeah.
And I have a tub of gummy candies in my office for something. And that is my weakness, is gummy candies. And I will tell you, I went for lunch yesterday, came back.
Yeah.
And from the time I got back until the time I left, it was a full-on battle for me not to grab that tub of gummy candies and eat the entire thing and make myself sick off of them.
Yeah.
The craving was so intense. Yeah. And I said, no, I have made this commitment to the Lord.
Right, right.
And I can say I did not have a single gummy candy. But it's like, you know, I feel like the last few days is just pressing in, kind of the last few moments of how serious really are you? How much are you really pressing into Christ?
And,
I shared with you a bit ago, one thing that really stuck out to me in Dave's message was the one who holds the planets holds me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd never heard that connection before that Dave made. When this book was written, they, in that time period, they believed that there were seven planets. And so the imagery of that, the one among the seven churches connecting with the seven planets, that he holds the planets in his hand and he holds me. The one who holds the planets holds me. What peace that brings.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because it doesn't matter what else is thrown at me. It doesn't matter what else happens. It doesn't matter what I think I need and what I think I don't have. Or one thing I've been really working through this fast is things that I have perceived as being stolen from me. And realizing I am in his hands. Nothing can be stolen from me. If anything has been taken, it is his loving pruning hand, mm-hmm. removing things that I don't need so I can experience more of him.
Yeah.
Because he's the one truly that I need. So I can't look at his things that have been stolen from me. He has me in his hands, and nothing will change that.
Right. Very good. You know, I do. I did not hear that before about the planets. I thought that was a great revelation, and it does multiply the sense of a peace inside of you. If he handles those planets, they don't shift. They don't move off their orbits.
Right.
He's got them easily in his control. Right. Well, then he has me too.
Yeah.
And that's like, that feels good. No doubt about it. And I loved also the idea that he connected this idea of Jesus in the midst as why we do missions.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit of a clear sort of break from traditional alliance thinking.
Right.
Where, the whole bring back the king mentality.
Right.
Which I don't think we lose by making sure we understand that he's here now.
Right.
I think it maybe lessens the intensity of it, but it also makes us think, right now the king is here.
That's right.
And that becomes my motivation. And then he shared all those anecdotal stories of
people
coming to know Jesus, in Somalia and Iraq and the Kurdish people. And
that's right.
And he was all over the place.
Right. Yeah. And then his neighbor. He brought it all back home. Neighbor that he wouldn't have seen had COVID not hit.
Yep. That's
yet
right.
COVID kept him at home.
Yep. There he was.
Yeah.
Over the fence.
Right.
Yeah. Leads him to Jesus. And then, I'm going to church with them this afternoon. Yeah, kind of idea.
Yeah.
And you just think, okay, so mission is everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. There's no place it's not.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. And, I think back to A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God.
Yes. I've been enjoying that.
His presence is always with us.
Yeah.
But do we see it?
Do we see
it? Are we ready to experience it?
That was definitely a strong connecting kind of the thought inside my head after Dave said, he's in our midst. Do you see him? What do you see? I know I've been, slowly meditating over this book while we've been fasting, and that's definitely key. He is here. He's in the midst. He is present.
Yeah.
Do we see him? Or are we just so busy with go, 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 do, do, do? And in some ways, that's what Dave was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Before he was so busy
doing
things for the kingdom.
Yeah.
That he never noticed the kingdom was actually in the backyard. Yeah. And I thought that was a great link to, just knowing that we are on mission here too.
That's right.
Not just around the globe. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
It was just nice to hear a good, solid sermon from the book of Revelation that wasn't weird.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't trying to define who is this beast, who is that beast, who is this kingdom and that kingdom.
But very pragmatic.
Jesus is in our midst.
Yeah. It's just so practical.
Yeah.
And so it definitely is going to be fun to kind of read through the book of Revelation thinking, all right, if this is Jesus in our midst, then is this Jesus in our midst now?
Right.
Do I see him now like it's described?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them, some of the book is definitely future talk. So there's going to be that element. Yeah. You can't just not see it.
Right.
But there are lots of parts of it that you think, no, actually, this is happening now.
Right.
Because Jesus is here now.
Yeah.
And that's who this is all about. The revelation of Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and I always think I've used it before in a Bible study, our Wednesday Bible study. I love to look at prophecy. There's that kind of telescope. There's that close up end that you look at, but then there's that broader future, out there. And
sure.
That's, revelation. It's so many times we focus on the future, the far end of the prophecy, the far end of the fulfillment.
Right.
Yet this was a letter written to churches, churches. So, obviously, John didn't know this, but God knew when he gave this revelation to John that the end times wasn't going to happen for a couple thousand years at least, because we have still yet to experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet God still saw fit to give this message to the churches of that time. Why?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it was about something more than just the end times, or else why would they need it?
Yeah.
But those churches needed it. Our church today, even if Christ does not return to set up his millennial reign or, in our lifetime, there are still things there that we need to know for today.
Yeah.
And I love that Dave brought it back to Christ is in our midst. He is at work in our midst.
Yeah. I think it was cool too that he didn't really develop this a lot, but he did say, here's John arrested.
Right.
Sent to the Isle of Patmos, which was a work camp.
Right.
Where they just broke rocks all day.
Yeah.
And
for no apparent reason,
for masonry or whatever they would use the rocks for. building whatever they built. Mm-hmm. They built a lot out of rock.
Yeah.
and then yet at the same time, in the midst of all of that, John is in the Spirit, in the Lord.
That's right.
On the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
Fellowshipping with Jesus.
Beautiful thing.
Can't take it away.
No.
Can't. No. Nope. With every breath we have.
Yeah.
We can find him. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of a Roman work camp.
Right. Yeah.
For prisoners.
That's right.
Unfriendly people, you might
right?
say.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Even violent.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, he was in the Spirit. Like, it takes focus. It isn't just, you know, a list of things to do. It isn't just, okay, I get up, I say my morning prayers and I read my morning devotion and then I move on. Mm-hmm. But it's, you're in the Spirit. Yeah. You're communicating with the Spirit. It's a spiritual act.
Yep.
It's an experiential act. It isn't a set of, you know, a set of to-dos or anything like that, but it's that experience of being with him.
Yeah. Which you wouldn't do. You wouldn't do that with your wife or your kids.
Right. It's not a to-do list with your, you know, okay, breakfast, check. Okay. Ask my kids, how was school today? Check.
Yeah.
Ask my wife, how's your day? No, no, no.
Yeah,
you live, you experience life with them.
Yep. It's not a checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. It was a very encouraging message, and kudos and thank you to our president, Dave Hearn, who brought the word as his usual very empowering and very energetic self.
Yes.
Impossible. I mean, if you'd have seen him on the stage, I mean, he was tied to a chair, sort of,
right?
By elastic bands.
Right.
But when he's here, he's up and down the aisles. He's jumping over the, you know, it's like, where is he at next?
Where is he going now?
It's like watching a fly around the room. You're zipping and zagging. But very, very refreshing. Mm-hmm. And it's good to know that we have such a focused, passionate leader in the midst of turmoil. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't lost a bit of his passion. In fact, it seems like it's intensified if I read my Dave right.
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, this whole thing of the pandemic has only created a deeper hunger and a deeper thirst for him. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, as we look forward and, you know, as we finish up this 40-day fast and we look forward to what is to come, we don't know.
Nope.
For sure. But we know the one who does.
You bet. And he's in the midst.
He's in the midst. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.